Well, you know, this is a wonderful time of the year. I know we have several people in our church who are teachers, and you know, they get to this summer session and they absolutely love this time off. And as a kid, you remember what it was like, those 2.5 months of sheer freedom, right? Man, it was like, woohoo! No school. What was it? No pencil, no more pencils, no more books, no more teachers dirty. Not that we ever gave teachers a reason to look dirty at us. Yeah, right. And, you know, we're celebrating this weekend, of course, the 4th of July. We're celebrating our national freedom. And it's hard for us to imagine what life was like under British control because we weren't around then. And we've heard stories about it and, you know, the taxes. And it was more than that whole taxation without representation thing. There was all kinds of control, and the people in the colonies were treated as second-class citizens, and it was a real difficult time. And let me remind you again of some of Patrick Henry's words from his wonderful address that he delivered at the House of Burgess in Williamsburg just prior to the Revolution. He said, "Is life so dear and peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God." And can I just make a note there? That it sounds like this guy was a believer in God. Because I don't know about you, but I get a lot of different magazines, and one of the magazines I get is Time. And Time magazine is a tad on the liberal side, and that's why I like to read it, because they believe things and they twist things around like I can't believe. And anyway, there's an article this week that they were talking about you know, how the Christians have so twisted history to make all these founding fathers believers in Christ. And they said that they were not believers in God. Well, it sounds like Patrick Henry may have been, since he referred to God as Almighty. "I care not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death." And today I went by Walmart this morning. You're always glad when I go by Walmart. I know. Pick up something corny, right? Something that will stick with you. So I picked up some flags today, because that's really the symbol of our freedom, right? We celebrate our freedom, and you'll see flags all day tomorrow, and people carrying flags and flags on the back of motorcycles, which is where they belong, baby. They need to be on the back of motorcycles. And if you have a motorcycle, you don't have a flag. I'm giving you one before you leave today, but you got to have a bike, okay? And so when it comes to, you know, our freedom, and it's interesting because, you know, there's all that turmoil going on in the Middle East right now. And because we are the product of a revolution, we look at what's going on over there and we say, come on, go, people. You know, get your freedom. But we don't know what they're fighting for. See, what we have to remember is that our Declaration of Independence was written before a shot was fired. It was written before the war. So everybody knew what they were fighting for, okay? Everybody knew what this nation would look like once we attained our freedom, that we recognize the civil liberties of every single individual. We have no idea what they're fighting for over there. We have no idea who those groups are. Yet there's a part of us that just so romanticizes revolution that we're saying, yeah, you know, overthrow the government. We have no idea what they're going to put in there, okay? Because they didn't give a Declaration of Independence saying, this is what we're fighting for. This is the kind of nation we're going to become. And so don't get all caught up in it because, you know, we are children of the revolution. So it's like, yeah. But you don't know what in the world that's going to look like over there because they haven't proclaimed it. And that's one of the wonderful things about our country is that we really did proclaim it before we started fighting for it. So everybody knew what they were fighting for. And so, you know, our flag is pretty much our symbol of freedom, our symbol of independence. And we are thankful today for individuals who risked it all. And we talked last year on the 4th of July, on Sunday the 4th, we talked about the cost that so many of them paid, because when they signed their names to the Declaration of Independence, they were committing treason against the government that was then in existence, and they were brave men, okay, and they stood tall, and we owe a lot to them, and although our country isn't perfect, and we're all admitting our country isn't perfect, thank God for those men who were so bold and so strong to found the nation that we're living in. We have incredible liberty and incredible freedom. And so we're going to talk about freedom a little bit today. And I think I want to start in the Gospel of Luke, the 15th chapter, because there's this mistaken notion that people have of freedom. Look at Luke 15, starting at verse 11. "Then he said, a certain man had two sons." Okay, you already know this story, right? The story of the prodigal son. "And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. That's freedom, right? This kid is saying, I am going to be free. Not only am I going to be free, I'm going to have some resources to live my freedom with. And so his whole idea is, man, I'm getting out from under dad's control, out from under dad's rules, and I get to be my own guy, and I get to be free. And so his view of freedom is expressed for us right there. He takes the possessions that he has coming to him. He goes out and he just lives without any rules at all. And some of you are sitting here thinking, I remember that point in my life, right? You were living at home thinking, I can't wait to get out on my own. No one ever explained to you bills, right? They never, you know, even though they may have told you, well, you know, you got to pay rent, you got to pay for your car payment, you got to pay for your insurance, you got to, you know, pay all your utilities, you got to pay for food, you know, you got to do all this. It's like, no, I just want to be free, right? And you got out on your own, and it was like, what an idiot I am, right? You look back on it now, if you knew right now what you knew when you were a kid, you would have lived it up, man. You would have cranked the air conditioner down to 60 because you aren't paying the bill, right? And we didn't realize how good we had it. Well, here this son is taking that same attitude, okay? I'm just going to go out, and I'm going to do my own thing, and I'm going to have freedom. So he is out living good. Verse 14. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled him with his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? Now do you see? The very freedom that he thought he was attaining brought him into bondage. It didn't end up giving him freedom. It ended up bringing him into slavery. In Galatians chapter 5, Paul helps us to understand freedom. Look at Galatians 5, verse 13. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty, to freedom, okay? You have been called to be free. You've been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So Paul shares some things with us that are very, very interesting, okay? When we talk about liberty, we talk about freedom. We are free from something, and we have freedom for something. So as kids, when school would let out, we had freedom, right? We were free from school. We were free from getting up early. We were free from homework. But not only did we have that freedom from that stuff, but we also had freedom to do stuff, right? We had freedom to go on vacation and not miss any school. We had freedom to go to summer camp. We had freedom to swim every day. So we had freedom from something, but we also had freedom for something. And when we talk about Independence Day, we recognize that what we have today because of the war of independence, that we have freedom to worship. We have freedom to speak freely. We have freedom to elect our officials. We have freedom to own property. We have freedom to live wherever we want to live. And Paul is talking to us about that other side of freedom, not just the freedom from something, but the freedom to do something. So as a Christian, look at verse 13 again. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty, only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. So as a Christian, I am free. And what am I free from? I am free, first of all, from sin. Look at the 8th chapter of John, 32nd verse, Jesus speaking. And he says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Then they answered, the Jewish people answered, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? Now, these people didn't even understand what he was talking about. They didn't understand the bondage that was in their lives because it had always been there. They didn't have a clue. So Jesus answered them, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. When you commit sin, you become enslaved to that sin. You become a slave of sin. So Jesus said, well, remember what Paul says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, which means what? Which means all of us are bound to sin. All of us are slaves of sin. There's not a person on the planet who hasn't been a slave of sin. So even though some of you say, well, I live better than everybody else I know, that doesn't matter. That doesn't count. The bottom line is that you, if you have sinned, have become a slave to sin, and all of us have sinned. So Jesus goes on, verse 35. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. So if I'm a slave, I'm not a son, and as a slave, I don't have any rights. Okay, I don't have any rights to abide in the house. I don't have any rights. But the son is the one who abides forever. So Jesus goes on in verse 36 and makes this statement. He said, therefore, if the son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. So the only one who can set you free is the son. So as a Christian, I am free from sin. Hallelujah, okay? Sin no longer has those chains, no longer has that hold on me. But it's not just being free from sin. As a Christian, I am free to do something. I'm freed for something. So as a Christian, I am free to serve. Now look at what Jesus says in Mark the 10th chapter. But Jesus called them to himself and said to them, you know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. So Jesus said, you know how the world works. Okay, and for those of you that are in the workforce, you know exactly what this is talking about. You at one time or another have had one of those bosses who loved being the boss, okay? And whose whole duty was to remind you that I am the boss, okay? And it was like their calling in life to let you know every day, I am the boss. And if they have a doctorate, they probably told you every day, you can call me doctor. Okay, because I am somebody, because I have attained something, and therefore I am the boss. And if you've never worked for anyone like that, count yourself blessed, okay? Because most of us have, and most of us didn't work for very long. And it's like, I can't take this. I'll do anything. I'll go dig ditches. I can't do this anymore. And that's the Gentile way of doing things. That's the world's way of doing things. The world's way is to exercise authority over people, to be in control of people, okay? And our response is always, you're not the boss of me, right? But they are. Okay. Now, when we come to the kingdom, look at verse 43, because Jesus says the kingdom of God operates a little differently than that. Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. So Jesus said, now, this is the way my kingdom works. If you want to be great in my kingdom, you have to improve your serve. And we're not talking about tennis. We're talking about improving your ability or your talent when it comes to serving other people. There's a statement that John makes that I just absolutely love. I don't have it on the screen, but I just thinking about that whole night when Jesus washed the disciples' feet. You remember that the word tells us in the Gospel of John that Jesus, knowing where he was coming from, though that he had come from the Father, and that he was going to the Father, arose from supper, girded himself with a towel, and got a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet. Now, there's some real important truth here, okay? And one of the things you need to understand about serving is that serving in no way diminishes you. It doesn't make you less of a person. And in fact, to serve, you have to be really secure. And that's the important thing here. Jesus knew where he came from, that he had the glory that he had with the Father from before the foundation of the world. He had this glory forever, okay? He laid all that glory aside. Philippians, the second chapter, says, you know, he laid all of that aside. He emptied himself, took upon himself the form of a servant, being born of a woman, lived under the law, fulfilled the law, and here he had all this glory, and he laid all of that aside. He became a baby that needed his diapers changed, learned how to walk, learned how to talk, went for 30 years before his public ministry began, in submission to his parents as he was growing up, all of these wonderful things. He served, he served, he served. He became an adult, and he continued to serve. And then John says, and he knew where he came from, and he knew where he was going. And once you understand where you've come from, that you have come from the pit, okay? That you, I mean, if you got what you deserved from God, you would spend eternity in hell. I would spend eternity in hell. That's what I've got coming. That's what I would deserve, okay? And knowing that God lifted me out of that destiny and gave me a whole new destiny and made me and made you a child of His. You now belong to His family. You are an heir of everything. You have the family signet ring on. Okay? You now are a child of God. And when you think about, I came from there, I'm headed for here, what I do right now doesn't make any difference. I can humble myself and wash people's feet because that's not going to change my status with God. I'm not going to be less a child of God because I've washed somebody's feet. And understand, that's what Jesus was thinking here. He knew where He came from. He knew His was the other way. He came from all this glory. He knew where He was going. He was returning to all that glory. So for Him to serve now didn't diminish Him. Nobody's going to, when we get to heaven, we're going to say, oh man, what are you doing sitting on the throne next to the Father? You washed feet. Not going to happen. In fact, you understand the concept of washing feet, that was the worst job. That was a job that the slave in the house or the servant in the house with the least amount of seniority did. Okay? That was a job that when you got hired there, you absolutely hated. And you couldn't wait until somebody else got hired because that would become their job. And you're past it. You're above it. Right? So you had the 5-year guy, the 10-year guy, all these guys that had seniority over you, and you came on the job, and it was like, hey, here's a basin. Here's a towel. You understand that every time someone comes in this house, that you are to sit them down and you are to scrub their feet clean. Oh, wonderful. I get to wash feet. I get to sit at stinky feet and scrub dirt off of them because these idiots wear sandals. Okay? And I get to do that. And how long do I get to do that? You get to do that until somebody else gets hired. Then it becomes their job. And the whole time you're praying, God, prosper this house so they can hire somebody else, right? And you may be a foot washer for a year. You may be a foot washer for 5 years. You may be a foot washer for 10 years. But as soon as that other person gets hired, it's like, woo, baby, I'm no longer a foot washer. And that's why when Jesus started washing people's feet and He came to Peter, Peter said, Lord, You will never wash my feet. That is so below You. You cannot do that. He says, Peter, if I don't wash your feet, I don't have any part with you. Or you don't have any part with me. And Peter says, well, in that case, Lord, wash my head, wash my face, wash under my arms. Just clean me up. And Jesus said, Peter, you've already taken a bath. The only part of you that's dirty are your feet. Let me wash your feet. And then He gets done with all of that. And He says to the disciples, I've given you an example. I have given you an example of serving. You are to serve in that same way. Understand, you call me Master and Lord, and you rightfully say, and as your Master and Lord, I have washed your feet. You need to do that for each other. And so when Jesus talks about the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life a ransom for many, what He has called us to do is to serve. We're free from sin, which also means we are now free to serve. Because we don't have to worry about sweating to somehow earn eternal life. We've got eternal life. Eternal life's in the bag. You put your faith in Christ. You came from the pit. You're going to heaven. Everything is good. And it doesn't matter what anybody thinks about you here. But if I serve people, they're going to look down their nose at me. So what? But if I choose to serve, it's going to diminish my personhood. No, it won't. No, it won't. And serving is always a choice. Listen to what Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 9th chapter, starting at the 19th verse. He said, for though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all that I might win the more. And to the Jew I became a Jew that I might win Jews. So when Paul went to Jerusalem, what did he do? He took vows. He participated in all the Jewish ceremonies. Okay? He became a Jew to the Jews that he might win the Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law. So those that did obey the Mosaic law, he said, I got right in line with them. And I had no problem at all being right in line with them. One of the rather humorous things I do on the side is I'm a volunteer chaplain at Desert Valley Hospital. And inevitably, every other call is for a Catholic priest. And so I'll go into the room and they'll say, Father, I'm so glad you're here. And I said, yep, just glad to be here. I don't correct myself. Don't call me father, I'm pastor. And I said, yeah, I'm really glad to be here. And they'll say, will you pray with me? And I said, sure. And I can't tell you how many times I've done an Our Father with someone. I've done a Hail Mary. I still remember it. Okay? I've given last rites. I have what's written down in the back of my Bible, so I know what to say. And for these people, it's not my job to correct them and to say, hey, what's wrong with you? Don't you realize that you shouldn't call anybody on earth Father? Don't you realize that you should never pray to Mary? Don't you realize any of this stuff? What's wrong with you? Paul did the same thing. You understand he did the same thing when he became a Jew to the Jews. Okay? There was a lot of stuff in there that as a Christian, you no longer had to do it all. And yet Paul was right there doing it so that he might win them. He might have an avenue into their lives so he might share the truth with them. So he says to the Jews, I became a Jew. Those under the law, I became as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law, as without law. I mean, so you got around the barbarians that had the turkey leg in one hand and an axe in the other. He said, man, I'd join them. Okay? And Paul said, now, it wasn't like I wasn't without any law at all because I'm still accountable to Christ, so I'm not gonna do sinful things. But he said, man, if they didn't use napkins, fine. I don't have to use a napkin. I can use my sleeve too, right? Okay? That I might win those without the law. To the weak, I became as weak that I might win the weak. I spent like 29 years in a denomination that I know that there were a lot of people in that movement that felt really, really strongly about movies. That movies, it was sinful to go to movies. And so for 29 years of my life, I didn't go to a movie, okay? Welcome to Jubilee. I love the drive-in at Barstow. In fact, I told Carmel, I said, I haven't seen Cars 2 yet. We've got to go to the drive-in Sunday night. Perfect night to go. But to the weak, I became weak. And that's what Paul said. You know, so for those that were real sensitive about things and had a lot of convictions about, well, you know, everything is wrong, everything. Paul said, I just lived right along with them, that everything is wrong, everything is wrong. I become all things to all men that I might by all means save some. Now this I do for the gospel's sake so that I might be a partaker of it with you. And he said, so I'm not going to take the attitude that I know the truth and you better line up with me. He said, I will do whatever it is I need to do. I have no problem serving. I have no problem humbling myself because he said, it gives me the opportunity to work my way into people's lives and serving does that. Serving does that as nothing else does. Serving gives you the platform to speak into people's lives. And I love the way John puts it in 1 John 3:16. He said, by this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. And catch this, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. So if Jesus laid down his life, we need to be willing to lay down our lives. And even if you serve until you're dead, you win. Look at Romans 6, verse 17. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I speak in human terms, because of the weakness of your flesh. Just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness. I want you to get that. You presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness. So now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. I have a phrase for you today. And all of you know, understand the phrase, all in. You understand the phrase, all in. Okay? And, you know, years ago, poker was something that was, you know, never publicized. Nobody ever talked about. Now you have the World Series of Poker, okay? And now they talk about poker being a sport. Okay. And I've seen a lot of guys sweat when they play, so I guess it meant to be a sport. But you understand the concept of all in. The concept is that when you've got a hand that you think is going to win, you take all your chips, all your money, and you say, all in. Now, Paul said, when you were in sin, you were all into sin, okay? And for a lot of you, you'd get paid on Friday and you wouldn't have a nickel to your name on Monday because the whole weekend you were all in, right? I'll buy the next round, I'm all in, right? And you spent and you went all in and you gave 100% when you were living for sin. And Paul said, okay, you can't hold back now. Now that you're living for righteousness, you can't put in a quarter. You can't put in a chip. You're a believer in Christ. You need to be an all-in believer for Christ. You yielded your members to uncleanness and lawlessness, which led to more lawlessness, and now you need to be all in. You need to present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. All in. Look at Galatians 5 one more time. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. So I am free from sin, and I am free to serve. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. And understand that freedom can't be used to further you. Okay? You can't use it to further the flesh. Well, I'm free. I can do anything I want to do. No, you're going to get into slavery again. You're going to get into bondage again, just like the prodigal son got into bondage. So stand fast in the liberty where Christ has set you free. So he goes on to explain to us that it's not a one-time event. I say then, verse 16, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And the word there in the original means keep on walking. Keep on depending on the Holy Spirit. Keep on walking in the Spirit, not walking in the flesh. And if you'll do that, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You'll be fulfilling the desires of the Spirit because you're allowing the Holy Spirit to control your life. And even though you may mess up, okay, Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And that really is true freedom. That is 4th of July freedom on steroids, okay? This is real freedom right here, okay? Freedom where there's no condemnation. There's no reason for you to be condemned because you're not walking after the flesh. You're not seeking to fulfill the desires of the flesh. You are seeking to fulfill the desires of the Spirit. So as a Christian, you are free from sin. As a Christian, you are free to serve. But don't leave that second part out. Don't just say, hey, I'm free. Okay? I'm free from sin. Yes, you're free from sin, but you're also free to serve. Father, we thank you for your word today. And again, for the way that your word just applies to where we're living. And God, you know that a lot of us have just kind of gotten caught up in the things of the world and in the flesh. You know how easy it is for us to kind of be tripped up and ensnared by all of that. But I thank you today, God, that you have called us to liberty and you have called us to freedom. And whom the Son sets free, they are free indeed. And God, as we sit here today, as we stand here today, we just know that there is a freedom that you have for us, that you have brought us to. Help us to walk in that. And help us not to take the attitude that, well, we're free from sin and that's the end of the story. But we're free to do other things. And nothing we do for you will in any way diminish us in your sight or diminish our relationship with you. In fact, it only enhances our reward in heaven. So help us, God, to be good servants. Help us to be good servers. Help us to be those people that are there willing to do whatever it is that needs to be done. God, help us to improve our serve. In Jesus' name, amen.